The book of Genesis, chapter 37. I'm just going to read like the first four verses. This is about Joseph. Chapter 37 of Genesis, verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, and could not speak peaceably unto him. Joseph is a picture of Christ in the book of Genesis. He was the beloved son of the Father, and his brethren hated him because he was the beloved son of his Father. That's enough for people to hate him. Sometimes it doesn't take much. However, Joseph was again just about to compound this problem. In verse 2, he brought unto his father their evil report. Evidently they were misbehaving, and it's not the last time. But he compounded the problem. He told his brothers of a dream he had, that he and his brothers were all sheaves bound in a field. And his sheaf stood up, and his brother's sheaves bowed to him. Guess what happened? They hated him yet the more. They hated him yet the more. Now in John chapter 1, speaking of the word, it says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Several times after Christ spoke to his own, they tried to kill him. I mean, not only did they not receive him, they wanted to do away with him. These Jews hated Christ yet the more whenever he told them the truth. Christ was the beloved Son in whom the Father was well pleased, and they were told, hear ye him. Well, they heard him, and they wanted him dead. They hated him because they heard him. John 7 and 7 says, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Even the religious works. As Walter said yesterday, especially the religious works. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Joseph told his brothers his dreams about how they would bow to him. Their hatred was evil. They wanted Joseph dead. What was that statement in the parable about the citizens of a country? We will not have this man reign over us. And the parable about the landowner who lent out his vineyards to husbandmen. When the owner sent servants to collect his fruit, some of them got beat up, some of them got stoned, some of them got killed. And the landowner said, they will reverence my son, and sent his son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir, come let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandman and will give the vineyard to others. And have ye not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Christ told them that. You know what they did? And they sought to lay hold on him, but feared the people, for they knew he had spoken the parable against them. Sometimes people do get the point. And they left him and went their way. This is my well-beloved son, hear ye him. They heard him. Then they went their own way. What these husbandmen didn't understand was the statement, they will reverence my son. That wasn't a request. That wasn't a wish on the part of the landowner. That wasn't a hope. That was an order. That was a commandment. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. And that's heaven, earth, and hell. Anyway. So these brethren, the brethren of Joseph, decided to kill the beloved son of the father. They decided to kill their own kinsman. Jacob had sent them to Shechem to watch after the flocks, to feed the flocks. So he sent Joseph to Shechem to find him, to check up on them. Well, they were supposed to be in Shechem. Joseph got there. They weren't. They were in Dothan. And I don't know if I should say this, but I read this. I thought, what are they doing in Alabama? It's the truth. Because Deb was in here listening to me read this to myself, and I was chuckling, and that's why. One of the reasons. I'll get to the other one in a minute. He found them in Dothan. Somebody told him where they went. And they were mad. Because they knew he was going to tell their father the truth. They were supposed to be in Shechem, and they weren't. They saw him coming. They grabbed him and they threw him in a pit to die. Their own brother. Their own kinsman. But he didn't die there. The second thing that made me chuckle was, okay, Reuben said, no, let's not kill him. Let's just grab him and throw him in a hole. And then Judah comes up with a bright idea that says, well, there's no profit in this. Let's sell him to these guys wandering by. You get to thinking about the heroes of faith, Mason. They were human. You don't see this kind of stuff, I'll tell you this right now, in anybody else's writing of their religious figures. This is the way people are. This is the way people were. It's not idealized. It's not stylized. It's fact. The great leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel were sinners. Every one of them. And it's written right here. All the prophets in the Old Testament were sinners. It's written right here. David, a man after God's own heart. We're not going to go into what he did. It's right here. This is truth in this book. But anyhow, they decided, oh, well, okay, why not, while we're getting rid of him, make a little money. Reuben goes back to the pit to get him. He's not there. They left him there in a pit to die, but the brothers go back to get him. The pit's empty. And I'm reminded of a time when some fellows went to an empty tomb and found the tomb was empty, and they didn't know whatever happened to him. Now, they went back to this pit, it was empty, and these brothers did not find out for actually many years after this happened what actually happened to Joseph's. Some guys were coming by and found Joseph in the pit and took him out, and they sold him to the same bunch that their brothers were going to sell him to. They sold Joseph into slavery. But Joseph was alive again. Now Joseph ended up in Egypt. I'm going to kind of run through this part of it. Joseph was a slave. Joseph went to jail. Joseph interpreted some dreams correctly while he was in jail. Pharaoh has a weird dream. One of the fellows that Joseph interpreted a dream correctly for is there and states, hey, there's some guy that I know that interprets dreams. A Hebrew. Specifically calls him a Hebrew. So he brings in Joseph, Pharaoh does. He interprets the dream. There's going to be 7 good years coming. Right after that, there's going to be 7 very bad years of famine. Pharaoh, the ruler of all Egypt, makes Joseph the right-hand man. You are second to me only in the throne. There's a little bit of power involved there. There's a little bit of authority. There's a little bit of right. Joseph is the right hand of the Pharaoh. What Joseph says goes. Pharaoh took him around and told him that. Put his ring on his hand. Hauled him around in the second chariot right behind him and told his people, what Joseph says for you to do, do. This king gave Joseph a Gentile bride who bore him 2 sons. And Joseph ruled over Egypt and stocked up food and goods during the 7 good years, saving up for the bad years that were to come from God. And this is where Joseph is when the famine hits and his brothers are sent to Egypt to buy corn. Abraham said, I hear there's corn in Egypt. Why are you standing around here? Go buy some. So his brethren, who had thrown him in a pit, left him for dead, come back, found he's not there anymore, come down to Joseph in Egypt, and they appear before him, and it says he made himself strange to them, comma, but he knew them. He knew them. Genesis 42 and verse 8 says, and Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. They were his brethren, even though they didn't know it. they were his brethren when they didn't know it. They were his brethren before they ever knew it. It didn't matter to Joseph that they didn't know him. The important part was that Joseph knew them. These men, the sons of Israel, had a relationship with the right hand of the king before they knew who it was that was the right hand of the king. What is said of Christ? Galatians 4:9 says, "But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire to be in bondage?" Again to be in bondage. Excuse me. The ones that he is not ashamed to call brethren are those who are known of God before they know God. 1 John 4:19 puts it this way: we love him because. That's a good word. I like the word because. We love him because he first loved us. Joseph knew and loved his brethren when they didn't know who he was. That's Christ. It's a while later that Joseph finally reveals himself to his brethren. He takes care of them even when they don't know who he is. He sends them back the first time after he accuses them of being spies, with laden down with corn, and in the top of their corn is their money that they thought they bought the corn with. He not only gave them the corn, the food they needed. Abraham said, "Go down there and buy corn so that we may eat and not die." He gave them their money back. Wasn't Isaiah come without money and buy? Without price? I like that. He takes care of his brethren. They don't even know who he is. Got no idea in this world. They find their money in their sacks. They don't know what's going on. Well, he accused us of being spies. Now, what's our money doing back in here? So they left. Now, after they used all that corn up, they came back because they needed some more. Their brother, who they didn't know, saved them. But finally, Joseph does reveal himself to his brethren, and he tells them, "Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, much people alive." Much people alive. "Now therefore fear not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Joseph is a picture of Christ. There are correlations here for every believer, because God doesn't change. God's salvation has never changed. Salvation is all of grace, whether it's in the Old Testament or whether it's in the New. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Then he was called a righteous man. In that order. Now there are plenty of blessings and revelations in this picture of Christ as shown in Joseph. But what I've heard and come to looking at this and doing some reading, this portrayal is not showing the brethren of Joseph as the church. These are the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel, his 11 brothers. Joseph is, at the time of his revelation to his brothers, he's already got a bride. He's already got a Gentile bride that the king gave him. The king gave him that bride. He had it.
That's right.
Joseph's brethren are a type of what they are. Jews.
Yeah.
They're the sons of Israel. In this picture, this is the last account in the book of Genesis of a picture of Christ. It ends in the last verses. The last verse of Genesis 50 and verse 26 says, "So Joseph died." This is the last account of Christ in a portrait, in a picture, in a type in the book of Genesis. And he's doing something for the Jews in it. After he's got a Gentile bride. He'd already, actually, if you want to look at it, Joseph had already saved the Gentiles. He'd been down there through 7 years of plenty, saving up for 7 years of bad. There were storehouses in Egypt. They were selling to the rest of the world. That's how Abraham heard about it. These Gentiles have been taken care of. He's at the right hand of the king with authority and power. What he says to you, do. It's what Pharaoh said. And then his brother, his kinsmen after the flesh, come to him and bow to him. Just like in a dream it came to him. Even though they didn't know who he was. Don't forget, they came because they had nowhere else to go. And they came because Israel, told them to go. And they had nowhere else to go. And they got corn. They got food. They were taken care of by their brother. Don't forget, this famine came from God.
That's right.
It was a prophecy, the dream that Joseph interpreted through God that got him this job. Pharaoh gave him this job. He said, it was God sending you a message. It's going to be 7 good years, it's going to be 7 bad years. And we need to prepare. And Joseph prepared and was ready. So his brethren came to him, and he knew his brethren before he revealed himself to them. It was a revelation. See, there's no difference in salvation. Still, it is a sovereign act of God through Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead. He knew his brethren before he revealed himself to them. He loved them before they loved him. He helped them when they didn't know who he was. He brought them into the land that he ruled at the right hand of the king, and gave them a land. The book of Genesis ends with the people of Israel fed and safe. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly unto them. I'm sorry, you can't tell me that God's done with Israel. I mean, say what you want to say. You can do what you want to do, and people do all the time. There's something here. We're a wild olive branch grafted in. But I'm sorry, it's still their tree. We're the Gentile bride of Joseph. His brothers are coming. Yeah. Our brothers-in-law. Yeah. You can't tell me that God will not keep his promises to Abraham, right. Isaac, right. And Jacob.
That's right. That's right.
There it is. Right there. These were his brethren. These are his brethren, and they always will be his brethren. Because Jesus Christ, who is God, manifest in the flesh, is still a Jew. And he's not done yet. There's more to come. And we'll see it one day, because we'll be there with it. Our Heavenly Father, we're again thankful to be in this place, this time. And we ask for your blessings, Lord, because we need your blessings. For as we read of these in the past, of the things they have done, Reuben and Judah and others, we know what we do and are capable of doing. And we ask for your forgiveness continually, and your blessings, and your love, your salvation, because it all comes from you. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.